Chairman John Klein music, Claude, that you're playing for the chairman?
Sure, why not?
Well, we'll find out. We'll see what he thinks. Chairman John Klein, Congressman from Minnesota 2nd, Chairman of the House Education Workforce Committee. And we'll start this morning with a different topic because he is a former Marine officer colonel, I believe. Is that right, John?
Yes, sir. Good morning. That music is just fine.
Okay. you've learned to be agreeable, right?
Exactly.
All right. John, I can't, it'd be an affectation to have you on and not ask you about Benghazi. The House Select Committee this morning, the hearings. What do you think? Is this going to be a big deal?
I think it is probably going to be a big deal. You've been looking at the news reports. I talked to Chairman Darrell Issa very briefly last night. I mean, clearly what we're trying to get at here is, what did we know beforehand, and what did people know, and what did they do during the event, and then what happened afterwards? And in sort of all of those areas, there are major, major questions and really big concerns. And the most obvious, of course, is what all of us saw when Susan Rice went on the Sunday morning shows and claimed that the whole thing was a result of a horrible video. And we now know that's absolutely not true. And now we're hearing stories that it may have been possible to get assistance to people who were in a firefight there, and that was denied. And so those are really serious accusations. We need to get the answer. We've had some very, very fine people here in Congress, committees looking into this. I think you know the Republicans on the committee submitted an interim report outlining some of the things I've just said. And now with this whistleblower thing, I think it's hold on. We'll see what comes out today.
Do you expect any Democrats on that committee to be fair-minded about this, or have they got marching orders, you think?
Well, that's always the question, isn't it? I think that there are Democrats who are concerned, Democrats who know that bad things happen, Democrats who know that the story was twisted afterwards when Ambassador Rice came out with her morning show. They're aware of that, and we'll just have to wait and see, Bill. We'll just have to wait and see.
Last question, because you're very close to your constituents. I know the applause you got out there in Minnesota when I was out there speaking. Folks really, really regard you, respect you, like you. Do people talk about this at all? Maybe that's not a fair question because they haven't heard the witnesses yet, but do you think this thing can and will break through with the American people? I worry, John, that people just don't want to talk about the Middle East. They don't want to think about it. You know, the Iraq or Afghanistan, please, no more. But sometimes people have to pay attention.
Right. But I think we as Americans are weary. This has been a long fight for us, and I hate to break it to them, but it's a long fight still to come.
Yeah.
We knew when the 9/11 Commission came out, they said at that time, we are at war with Islamist extremists, their words, and this is going to be a long fight. Okay. So I know that the people are tired of it. We don't like it. We want to declare victory and have a parade and be done, but that's not the nature of this conflict. And now we see the mess, the horrible mess in Syria, where you can't even tell who the good guys and bad guys are over there.
Right. Right.
It is awful.
Right. All right, John, let's move on because we all have our jobs to do, and you've got a very important job very close to my heart as chairman of the House Education Workforce Committee. What are you doing? I'm particularly interested these days in higher education, and what you're up to. What are the concerns? What are the worries? What are your proposals?
Well, we are already starting the work on reauthorizing the Higher Education Act. And there are many, many, many questions there. What kind of information do parents and students and prospective students need? How can they get it? How can we help them make decisions? We need to sort out the student loan interest rate mess, and we're going to have legislation introduced here in a very few days to address that issue and tie that interest rate to the market so you don't have a bunch of politicians, and I say that advisedly, sitting around sort of deciding what the interest rate should be. That's just a silly concept. That's why there's a market out there.
Yeah.
So we have to address that. And then, of course, as you know, and I know this is close to you, you've got these just outrageous costs that some of the colleges have, and they're now recognizing that they have got to confront those costs. And you've got the development of distance learning, online learning, yeah, which is now just blossoming.
Yes, sir.
And so we have to consider all those things, and as always, and you know me now well, the last thing I want to do is insert the federal government into telling people, telling institutions, telling states what they have to do.
Right.
On the very bare minimum of accountability.
I'm just, because we need to catch up, and I've been, you know, chasing other things, and I know you've been hard at work here, and we need to talk some more, but I've been following one movement on the Hill. I'd just like to get your comment, because it looks sensible enough to me, but I may not have looked at it close enough. This is, I think, a bill introduced in the Senate by... proposed in the Senate by Ron Wyden and Marco Rubio, Know Before You Go.
Right.
That colleges would have to reveal what graduation rates, dropout rates, whether their students get jobs, and so on. Is this something real, something important?
It is a very important idea. There's discussion about it here in the House. The majority leader has proposed something like that. It is something that we're interested in. Here are a couple of cautions that I think we have to be careful of. One is we as a government, certainly we as Republicans, have been very resistant to creating a unit record for every student where we track what job he gets, how much money he makes, his income for life kind of a thing. That's an intrusion that we have been a little bit resistant to. And the other thing is, when you come up with a new idea, and I'm not suggesting this is per se a bad idea, you come up with a new idea, you don't want to just pile it on top of everything else. When you look at what the colleges and the institutions have to comply with now, it is staggering how many reports and forms and things that they have to do. You don't want to just pile more on top of that. You need to be respectful of their job, providing a world-class education, not just responding to more government intrusion.
No, it's a fair point. It's a little bit like the testing point, isn't it? We have so many tests, it'd be better to just have fewer tests and good ones like the NAEP and dispense with a lot of the stuff that we don't need instead of just piling on.
Exactly. No, I think that's a good analogy, because a lot of good ideas up here and a lot of bad ideas.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
they get incorporated into law, and nothing ever goes away. That's how you end up with the K-12 education, with over 80 federal programs.
Yeah.
Just crazy.
I know. Let me ask you, because I've been talking about higher education lately, and one of the things that people pick up on, and you talked about records of federal government, is I can hear a lot of people out there listening to your comments saying, yeah, I agree with you, I don't want that busybody government, but do want the government to be a bit more of a busybody when it comes to things like student visas and foreign students coming over here. We've just, learned a lesson there, at least I hope we have. Do we know who's coming and what, and who they are and have enough background on them? Do the universities let us know about that?
Well, Bill, the visa system in this country is horribly, horribly broken across the board. It is so complex and administered by so many different actors in this thing. And so I would say, I'm just opining here, that the answer is that we don't know.
Yeah.
Because we don't know in so many other areas.
Yeah.
We don't know when people, just in general, think about it. We don't know.
Coming and going.
And so we shouldn't be surprised, frankly, when we don't know this kind of information.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that's one where the American people say, we should know more. Like the folks in Boston who said, fine, we'll stay in our houses. Normally, a threat of government, worry about government is high on the list. But in that circumstance, people accepted it. And I think in the same way. We're talking to Chairman John Klein, Chairman of the House Education Workforce Committee. He's from Minnesota. Chairman Klein, we just have a couple minutes left. Tell us what's going on with ESEA. What is ESEA, by the way, for the uninitiated?
The Elementary and Secondary Education Act.
You live in acronym land, don't you, Nick?
I do live in acronym. But I always have, Bill. 25 years in the Marines, so we know something about acronyms, as you know with your son.
Yes,
it is acronym central.
He got to Pendleton, by the way, and sent a picture. Not so bad out here.
No, it's delightful out there.
At least for the moment. That's where he is for the moment. Yeah.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm very proud of him, and I know that.
Thank you.
So the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, currently known as the No Child Left Behind Law, is way overdue for reauthorization. And I know your listeners know that NCLB, No Child Left Behind, has got major problems. You've got this adequate yearly progress, AYP thing,
yep.
It's frustrating parents and teachers and schools and superintendents and states and heck, everybody. And that needs to be fixed. And you also know that the administration, that the Department of Education has issued these conditional temporary waivers, and thereby, by the way, I don't think they actually have the power within the law to do that, but that's another story. They've done it, and they've created an even bigger mess, because now schools that even have these waivers are asking, well, what are we supposed to do with this waiver? Because what happens when you rewrite the law, you know, in a year or two or whatever, and change these things, and then we've just got a mess. So I say that because we need the push from the American people, from the stakeholders in education, to say, let's rewrite the law. We're doing it. We will introduce shortly and bring to the floor in the coming weeks and months the reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act to reduce that federal footprint, empower parents, restore local choice, and do something to encourage states to hold teachers accountable. Sort of the principles behind what we're trying to do here.
Well, I think that'll be very good and very welcome, and I think you're going to hear from a lot of our listeners about that too. But you're in a very interesting place. All right, let's just touch the third rail. We only have 30 seconds, so I'm going to say Common Core.
Yes.
Give me 20 words.
Okay. Common Core is voluntary on the part of the states. The states have to choose whether or not they want to come together and establish their academic standards. And as a matter of principle, I'm fine. Any state can agree with any other state if they want to work together. The problem is the administration has used the race at the top and these waivers to compel states to do this, and I don't think that's a good idea.
Very well done. Very well done. Masterful. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Thanks, Colonel. Chairman Klein, thank you very much. Okay, we'll be back, folks. Your calls.